I was in my second year of seminary, and I was angry with God. Can you imagine? I'm in my second year of studying to be a minister in his church, and I'm mad at God. I'm angry at God because my mother had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. I'm angry because now I live 12 hours away from her. I'm angry because she'll never see me graduate from seminary and she'll never know my children. So here I am studying to be a pastor, and I feel very disconnected from God. Have you been there? I think most of us have. There are moments in life when we feel disconnected from God. We don't have that close relationship with Him. We don't feel that tie to Him. And we need to reconnect to Him. So this morning we want to use Peter, who in my opinion, of all the people in the New Testament, knows exactly what it means to be disconnected from God and also how to reconnect with God. Well, being disconnected from God, there's various ways that cause us to be disconnected, to sever our relationship with Him. It's not that we lose our faith. It doesn't mean that we don't have a relationship with God, but it's not where we want it to be. It's not as strong as it was at one time. God somehow seems a little bit more distant than he did before. One of the ways in which we can disconnect with God is, I've already mentioned, we're angry with God. We're angry with God because God hasn't done what we ask Him to do. God didn't act, or God seems to be silent, and we don't know what's happening. We're confused by that, and we can get angry with God. I think there are several instances where we can see this in Peter. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the close disciples. They're coming down off of a mountain one time, and it's just the four of them there, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to tell you something, guys. He says, I'm going to get betrayed, and I'm going to get put to death. Peter will have none of this. He jumps to his defense. He says, that'll never happen to you, Lord. And then Jesus looks him square in the eye and says, get behind me, Satan. Oh, that had to hurt. Peter thought he was jumping into his defense. Jesus just called him Satan. I wonder if he was a little hacked off at that. There's another occasion that Jesus said to all of the disciples, he said, you're all going to fall away. Not one of you will remain loyal to me. Peter takes it as a personal insult, jumps up. He says, I don't care about the rest of these yahoos, but I'll never betray you. I'll never not be loyal to you. He's a little angry there, I think, right? How about when Jesus is arrested? Right? Peter's the one who pulls on his sword and swipes off the ear of Malchus, right? And what does Jesus do? He puts it back on. What's the deal with that? He heals him, and then Jesus allows himself to be arrested. I gotta imagine, that didn't sit too well with Peter either. That's not the Messiah he was looking for. That's not the Messiah that he thought was coming, being arrested that way. I think there are plenty of times that Peter was a little bit irked with Jesus. And if you're angry with God, you feel pretty disconnected from God. You ever been angry with God? I've already confessed that I have been. You cry out to God, why haven't you done something, God? Why is this happening in my life? You're confused by circumstances. Seems to me most of the time that we get angry with God, it's when someone we love is either seriously ill or has died. And in our grief, we get mad at God. But that also puts a distance between us, and we're disconnected. Sometimes we get disconnected with God just because of social pressure. Because of what's happening around us socially, we back away from God. I think of Peter when he denied Jesus three times. Now, it's easy for us, by the way, to sit back and look at Peter and wag our heads and say, I don't know how he could do that. But let's put ourselves in his place, shall we? The story, you may recall, Jesus is arrested. All the rest of the disciples, they disperse. But Peter, he sort of tags along in the shadows because he wants to see what's going on. So he manages to worm his way in so that he can listen in on the various trials that they put Jesus through. And not once, twice, but three times, people in the crowd recognized him. They knew that he was with Jesus, and they confronted him. They said, "You're with this guy." He denied it vehemently three times. "No, no way." What would you have done? Wonder what I have done. Let's think about it for a moment. Jesus has been arrested. It seems pretty evident they want to execute him. What do you think that means for his disciples, his followers, right? I think it would be real easy to justify in our minds, you know what? Better to lie about this, live to fight another day. I'm not going to be much use to Jesus if I'm in prison next to him. Or maybe even, I don't understand what he's doing. I'm not sure I want to be part of this anymore. This wasn't in the plan, according to Peter. Either way, disconnected. You distance yourself from God. Same thing happens today. It's not popular to be a Christian today. Not in the least. Oh, you won't be threatened with your job. You won't be thrown in prison. You could affect your career. You might affect your social life. If you lived by your morals and your convictions and your belief in your work and in your career, would that have an adverse effect as far as whether you get that next promotion, about how your coworkers would treat you? Are there certain friends, acquaintances, that, yeah, it's better off not to bring up the topic of religion or faith or our church, right? Because it's just a little uncomfortable. The folks who have it the toughest, as far as I'm concerned, is our young people. I can't believe the pressure that they have got to be under. If you think that it's unpopular as an adult to be a Christian, I don't want to think about being a junior high or someone in high school or college and being a believer in Jesus. That's really not popular at all. The pressure on them, for them to maintain true to their faith, is immense. They deserve our prayers and our support, by the way. But it's all of us. We can give in, and we can distance ourselves from God. There's lots of reasons that we can become disconnected, just one more. And I think maybe it's the one that hurts the most. If you're disappointed in yourself. If you've done something that you thought that you would never do. You know, the third time that Peter denied Jesus, and he did it rather vehemently that last time, the two of them made eye contact. The gospel writers record for us that Peter broke down and wept bitterly. He must have been thinking, how do I come back from this? Can I come back from this? I think every Christian has asked that question. When the one thing that you said that you would never do, and then you said it, you did it, and you wonder, have I crossed the line? Have I gone too far? Can I not come back? You want to feel distanced from God? Think that you're outside of His grace. Then you're really disconnected. It can happen to all of us. That relationship we have with God just isn't what it used to be. So how do we reconnect to God? How do we get that relationship strong again? Well, the good news is this. God reconnects with you. God pursues you. He has this reckless love, this overwhelming love that comes after you. He'll kick down walls and he'll climb mountains to get to you. He did with Peter. Three times Peter denied him, and three times Jesus reinstated him as a disciple. Three times he gave Peter the opportunity to express his love, his loyalty, and his faith in Jesus, confirming in Peter that yes, indeed, Jesus loved him and Jesus accepts him. And then Jesus, three times, gives him the greatest honor of saying, take care of my sheep. Jesus says, take care of my people. That's how much he believes in Peter, because he's willing to go after him. Peter knew what it was to have God come after him. You can see it in his letter, by the way. So his very own words, he says this: Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, knowing who wrote those words, that's pretty powerful. Jesus himself will restore you. He'll confirm and strengthen you. He'll reestablish you. He will connect with you. Peter understood the power of those words because he experienced it. Let's hear some more words from Peter. We go back a little bit earlier in his letter. He said this: For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, but here it is, that he might bring us to God. Jesus sacrificed himself. Jesus took his place. Why? So that he could bring us, he could reconnect us with our Father in heaven. You see, no matter how angry you've been with God, no matter how many times you've given in to social pressure, no matter how many times you think you've crossed the line, you cannot escape the love of God. He'll pursue you to the ends of the earth. He wants to reconnect with you, to have that strong relationship again. So it's God who connects with us. But then Peter's got some pretty good advice for us. How do we stay connected to God? Well, let's go back to chapter 5, verse 6. He says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. There are times when I need to humble myself, when you need to humble yourselves. When we want to get angry with God because we don't understand what God is doing, maybe we need to take a humble posture and say, you know what? I don't know everything. God, you know a whole lot more than I do. God, you have promised me. God, you say that you have a plan. So you just humble yourselves and say, I surrender to you, Jesus, ever how you want to lead my life. You want to be close to God? Humble yourself before him and say, God, I entrust my life to you. Peter picks up on that because he keeps going. Verse 7, he says, Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Take all of your worry, all of your anxiety, all the things that keep you up in the middle of the night, all those conversations that keep replaying in your head, all those situations you keep reliving and just gnaw at you, and just lay them at the feet of Jesus. Imagine what could happen if we could be vulnerable enough to do that. Our deepest, darkest fears, our greatest anxieties, if we just laid them at the feet of Jesus and entrusted them to him. You want to feel close to God? Lay your anxieties at his feet and trust him. Peter has one final thing to say to us. Verse 8, he says, Be sober-minded, be watchful. He goes on to say, you got to be watchful because the devil is out there like a roaring lion, ready to pounce on us. In other words, our enemy, the devil, wants nothing more than to disconnect us from God, right? He doesn't want us to be connected to God. So we need to have our wits about us, to be aware, to be on guard, to make sure that we stay connected to God. And we know the ways that we stay connected to God. He speaks to us through his words. We want to listen to him. And we want to read it on a regular basis so that he can fill our souls. We want to be in worship on a regular basis so we can be with fellow believers, that we can sing his praises, we can hear from his word, we can participate in the sacrament. We want to be active in our prayer life because we want to stay on our guard. Because anybody can become disconnected from God. Second-year seminarians planning their whole life and dedicated it to his service can become disconnected from God. But God comes after us. And God reconnects with us. He reconnected with me. Now through the gift of his Spirit, let's stay connected. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for pursuing us, for letting nothing stand in the way. Your overwhelming love has been shown to us through your Son, Jesus. Now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Keep us close to you, strong in our faith, connected to you always. In Jesus' name, amen.